going on? Jermaine Johnson. Tune in to Turn on the Jets podcast.
Hey, this is Vinny Pasquantino of the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you tune into the Turn on the Jets podcast.
Everybody, welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's Bills Week, part two, and no better person to have on than Nate Geary. You know, Bills pre and post halftime show, the whole nine yards for WGR 550, and a partner in crime with me on arguing about Tua. Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm well. Looking forward to Jets Week. Especially now that, I don't think anybody here in Buffalo, fans or otherwise, will be taking the Jets too lightly. Not that they maybe did last time, but they certainly won't be overlooking any part of this game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a game, you know, obviously we'll get into this game. I want to kind of rewind before we get into that of, you know, 2 days ago, you know, recording this on Tuesday, you know, Bills coming off a Thursday night game where I don't think they were amazing, but they were the Patriots looked helpless. Sometimes it's a little hard that, you know, Bills coming off games against the Lions and Pats. Like, I don't know how much better they're playing than they were previously. I think they're playing a lot better, but, and the Jets obviously coming off a really tough loss in Minnesota where, you know, 500 yards offense, you hold Minnesota to almost negative yards in the second half. You can't score. You're 1-6 in the red zone, you lose. But I guess we'll start with the Bills. You know, last time the Jets played them, it was like, oh my God, the Bills are in disarray. And then they lose the Vikings next week. Josh Allen's going to have Tommy John. Now it seems like he's fine. You know, where are you at with, you know, where the Bills are, obviously being the number one seed, you know, as presently constructed?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you know, you rewind to last year after week 14, week 15, the Bills were 7-6. And they won the division. And it's hard to remember the fact that they were 7-6. They'd lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars and all hope was lost. And then, you know, they turn it on in December and they're one of the hottest teams to enter the playoffs. They win that wild card matchup against the Patriots, you know, have the perfect game. They don't punt one time. And, you know, Josh Allen outduels Patrick Mahomes for 59 and 3/4 minutes. And, you know, they're two stops away from, an AFC championship game being hosted here in Orchard Park. And, you know, the rest is history. And now this year, obviously all the expectations coming into the season, I was under no spell that the Bills were like going to go undefeated and we're going to just pound the AFC East. The AFC East is better than I thought that they would be coming into this year. A lot of that is, around the Dolphins and Jets being better football teams and maybe on a quicker timeline when I'm maybe talking about the Jets here, just on a little bit of a quicker development timeline than maybe I thought that they would be. But the Bills did something that no other NFL team has done over the last, since basically they started Thursday Night Football games. They played three games in 12 days, all on the road. Two of which were back-to-back in Detroit because of the snowstorm here in Buffalo. They moved that game to Detroit. They're getting guys. They didn't practice. They practiced one time that week. They've got guys that are walking through 6 feet of snow just to get to a car so they can get to the facility. And they win all three of those football games against, you know, I think a Browns team that is playing better with Jacoby Brissett than they are right now with Deshaun Watson and a defense that, you know, let's not hold a lot of punches. That's a bad defense with Myles Garrett. And then I think a Lions team that could and has competed with the best teams in the NFL. They lost by one score to the Eagles. They lose by one score to the Bills. That's a good Lions football team. And then last week, the Patriots, who I would call more pesky now than I would say good, but top five in DVOA defensively, top five run defense in DVOA, and the Bills really walked in there and did what they wanted on the ground. And I think that's maybe the biggest development over the last 3 weeks with Josh Allen not yet 100%. I think we are broaching that 100%. I think he's probably as close to like 90, 95% last week. The Bills have been able to pivot and run the football better than they have really at any point in the Josh Allen era. A lot of that has to do with the emergence of James Cook in the offense, but Josh Allen looks fundamentally healthier and better as a thrower of the football, which is what you want to see. So to look at these, the stretch of three games, you know, this is the thing that bothers me sometimes about how the Bills are viewed, because this pedestal was built for them, by the way, not necessarily by the fan base, but by expectations the national media set, that they were the consensus Super Bowl favorite. And then you have fan bases that talk about, well, the Bills fans, they were guaranteeing a Super Bowl. Nobody in Buffalo would ever guarantee a Super Bowl ever. Have you ever met these people? We're sad. It's this time of year. It's very, it's gloomy. It's dark. No one here is guaranteeing a damn thing for a franchise that lost four straight Super Bowls. I promise you that never happened. But I do think there's something to be said about a team who is fighting through adversity early in the football season. Sean McDermott talks all the time about the ebbs and flows of a season. And unless you have been here, the Dolphins have not. The Dolphins are going to face adversity. They think that the Tua injury was their adversity. I promise you that was not their adversity. They're going to face adversity, and they are right now with Tua healthy at quarterback. The Jets, they're facing kind of their first adversity of the year. They had to bench their starting quarterback, was number two overall pick, and they've got Mike White, and now he's going to move through the hardest part of the schedule. Like, there are ebbs and flows to every season, whether you are predicted to be the Super Bowl winner or predicted to have the number one pick that year. So the Bills won three games in the heat of maybe their most adverse situation they faced all year. They come out 3-0 on the other side, playing three games in 12 days, all on the road. And now you enter what Jets fans, what Dolphins fans, what Patriots fans already know is the most important time to play your best football going into January. So have they played their best football as of late? No. But this is last year. This is when they started to really turn it on, and I'm expecting the same now.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. You know, on a side note, I don't think the NFL handled the snowstorm thing particularly well. Everyone knew that snow was coming. It started like the Sunday, like right after the Sunday games. I believe it was after the Minnesota game, if I'm not mistaken. And like everyone knew it, and none of those guys should have been moved, done, and dusted. Those guys should not have been in Buffalo.
No.
And whatever. That was just a whole mess. And it was like Thursday. And it's like, oh, how are we getting into the game? Well, should have thought about that 4 days
like
ago.
Monday. When, yeah.
Yeah. Like they should have been gone. The Bills are in a weird spot because you watch some of, you know, if you watch them, you know, obviously they're on national TV 24/7. And as you mentioned, I thought it was going into the year, I'm like, everyone's picking the Bills. So they're just the way the NFL works, they won't win. And maybe they don't. But I think they've done a good enough job based on expectations of, you know, the teams they've lost to. It's not like they've, well, you know, they lost in Miami and no one wins in Miami in September. It's 1,000 degrees and all that stuff. The Bills had their entire team injured. I think the Jets game was probably their most legit loss, if I'm being honest. You know, I know some people pointed to Josh Allen got hurt in the last play of the game. I'm not doing that. That doesn't work that way. I thought that was their most legit loss of the year. And the Minnesota loss, Minnesota's winning every single close game, as we'll get into in a second. So I'm not, for being honest there, you know, Josh Allen just doesn't fumble that snap, the game is over. You know what I mean? So I just think they're a really good team. I think that I do get worried from time at times. They are a little, you mentioned the running game. I think they need to run the football on Sunday, and we'll get into that, because you cannot be one dimensional where Stephon Diggs is the only person you're throwing the football to. Right. Been a little disappointed in Gabe Davis, if I'm being honest. If tracking the football, it feels like he's a little late. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what's going on there. And but yeah, James Cook's a nice player. I think the health of Deion Dawkins and guys like that will be interesting on Sunday if he plays. Yeah. The defense, again, Poyer's back for this game. Milano's back. Those guys getting back is huge. Shout out Jordan Poyer, quote tweeting the sauce clip from the other day. I appreciate not looking like an idiot and people agreeing with me on that one, that was a ridiculous call. But again, Von Miller is now out. So how that affects it. I wanted to ask you quickly about Odell. I don't know if I'm crazy here. I respect Odell wholeheartedly. I think good for him right now. This is awesome. Who doesn't want to have a second, you know, college recruiting tour when you already, you know, have $30 million in the bank, and that's all great. I don't know if he's going to play this year. And I think people kind of have forgotten that part this whole time. Like, he's coming off a reconstructive ACL surgery, you know, nine months ago. And it feels like it's getting to the point now where, like, is it worth all this drama and stuff around him? Just because it's like, he's getting paraded around from team to team. And if you're the Bills, can you really afford, like, maybe you can, and maybe the Cowboys can too, afford to not get him to the playoffs, but is it even worth it at that point? Whereas, like, if you're the Giants, you give him a multi-year deal and you have no talent around him. You're hoping just to get a one, two games out of him. So do you expect the Bills, you know, Von Miller's been really outspoken. He thinks the Bills are going to get, you know, Odell, and that's great. A, do you think he ends up in Buffalo? And B, is it worth it at this point, just based on, can't see the Bills giving him a 2-3 year deal based on, I mean, maybe they do. I don't know.
You know, the Odell Beckham sweepstakes has been really interesting. I would tell you that the Bills are very much interested. It's not just Von Miller. There has been, from everything we've heard, that players have gone to management and have basically said, this is a guy that if we believe we need to get over the top. And what he does this year, I think, is important. I think it's also important to note that guys like, you know, Chris Godwin, they were back at the 9-month mark. You've seen guys like, Cam Akers back from Achilles tendon in 7 months. So everyone heals at a different pace. And, so if the Bills could find a way to get a guarantee, it's the Cowboys are already leaking stuff, which I find really interesting, while he's there on the visit. So that's either posturing. It's either, you know, like, I don't know. Is it worth it right now for the Bills to bring Odell Beckham Jr. in if he can only help you in the playoffs? I would say absolutely 100%. And I think a big reason for that is something you mentioned, which is the maybe disappointing is sort of a, I think maybe intense term to use when you're talking about Gabriel Davis. But it has not been what I think a lot of people had predicted. A lot of fantasy people predicted it would look like after that Kansas City game last year. And it just has not necessarily carried over on a week-to-week basis, which was why Brandon Bean insulated him in year two with Emmanuel Sanders. It's why they went out and felt the need to draft a Khalil Shakir, which they have not really utilized very much. They go out and they sign Jamison Crowder to play out of the slot. And, I think there's a lot to be said about why the offense hasn't maybe looked as efficient as it has in years past with Brian Daboll. And the guy that I've maybe most been disappointed in is Dawson Knox.
I was just saying him and Ken Dorsey. I know you're very vocal about Ken Dorsey's getting away from the run.
I like Ken Dorsey. And it's less about the run and more about, you know, I like the evolution. He has prioritized, he's built this passing offense around Stephon Diggs, rightfully so. I thought last year the offense moved away from targeting Stephon Diggs at the frequency in which they did in his first year in 2020. 127 catches and multiple 100-yard games. He had two 100-yard games last year and only 104, 105 catches. So he's on pace to be back at that 2020 clip. Good. But Dawson Knox, Gabriel Davis, both are not seeing the same level of success they saw last year under Brian Daboll and the year before that when you're talking about Dawson Knox. A lot of that has to do with his ability to scheme these guys open. And there's less those one-on-one hole shots, 50-50 balls to Gabriel Davis. Those are not being attempted like they have been in years past. They're not finding creative ways to get the ball into the hands of Dawson Knox in the red zone and area. The Bills have, at least by the numbers, struggled with, but it's funny how the red zone works. They go 3-for-4 against the New England Patriots, and they go from 24th in the NFL in red zone percentage to 15th in one game. So it's funny how, you know, a couple of good games in a row in the red zone can really change your fortunes in terms of where you stand. But Odell Beckham, the reason that conversation's happening, this team right now, as it stands, has four. They added John Brown, and we'll see what, you know, I don't know what that is at this point in his career. They have four NFL receivers on this roster. That might be a surprise to some people that don't follow the Bills very closely. You would think that this is a stacked group at the offensive weapon and pass catcher position. It's not the case. I'm not sure a lot of people could name the Bills' second string tight end, much less name their number four receiver, which is Khalil Shakir, a fifth-round pick from this year, who has almost exclusively played from the slot at Boise State, to now being a guy that they're playing on the outside, because he is, if Gabriel Davis, if Stephon Diggs goes down, the first person that's going to slot into the outside role is a guy who predominantly played slot in college, in the WAC. So I think that a lot of people look at the Bills. Josh Allen, he solves a lot of problems, right? Great elite quarterbacks. They can cover up for maybe not having the talent. But and I got this argument with Dolphins fans, like, oh, well, you know, now that they've struggled a little bit now, and now all these guarantees of a Super Bowl and how good and how deep their roster, this is the deepest roster in football. Just because they don't have adequate pass catching depth the rest of their roster. I mean, look at their defensive line. They're without Von Miller, and they absolutely dominated that game against not the best defensive line in the Patriots, but they went multiple weeks without Jordan Poyer. They were able to win football games. They've got just getting Tre'Davious White back from injury. So this is a roster across the board that is deep in terms of like overall depth, but at the pass catcher position and playmakers, this team is hurting more than people maybe want to maybe acknowledge.
I want to kind of transition to, from a Jets point of view, obviously. I want to touch on the Jets from this perspective. Obviously, you know, we came into the year, it was about Zach Wilson. It was about, okay, we like some of the pieces out of the draft. We like Breece Hall, sadly out for the year. We like Elijah Vera Tucker, out for the year. Liked Elijah Moore, had a trade request. It's everything. We liked Mekhi, people liked Mekhi Becton, out for the year. Like, it's been, a lot of the stuff has gone haywire. That said, they're 7-5. You can make a good argument if they have Mike White starting the entire year, they're probably 9-2, or they're 9-3, or 10-2, which is nuts. Like, I very much think, you know, those Patriots games are going to come back to bite them if they don't make the playoffs. They have no business losing those games. You know, you hold a team to 3 points. They gave one touchdown in 8 quarters, and that was off of a turnover, and you lose. So, but from a, you know, obviously you saw the Jets earlier in the year. They're a slightly different team. Both teams are a little different. Again, there'll be no Von Miller in this game, but you'll have Milano and Poyer back from a Jets point of view. Jets, obviously, Bam Knight's come on the scene quickly here. You know, obviously Mike White over Zach Wilson, seemingly, at least to me, it's a pretty big upgrade based on the way they've played. He's played through 2 games and the way Zach played through 20, you know, here at the Jets. So I guess what's kind of the outlook from a Bills side of point of view on the Jets? They're kind of built. They were supposed to be built pretty similarly. I know. Obviously, Zach did not become Josh Allen, but the rest of the rosters get pressure with 4, have really good corner and safety play, and, you know, offensively have that stud. You know, a lot of people comp Garrett Wilson to Stephon Diggs, and we're starting to see maybe he's obviously not to that level yet, but the route running just is, you know, obviously unbelievable, you know, player. So I guess what's the Jets, you know, what do the Jets look at from like the Bills' point of view?
Yeah, I think when you look at the offense, I think you're spot on about Mike White. I mean, Mike White is such a far and away upgrade from Zach Wilson that it's almost comical when you look at how much teams and defenses are.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Really playing this Jets offense differently with a different level of respect. It's too bad you don't have Breece Hall right now, because you can figure out if you had Breece Hall right now with the passing attack this offense had. Yeah, I mean we're talking about a very potent, very interesting offense. Not to say that without Breece Hall that they're not still a potent offense, but man, I can only imagine what adding Breece Hall to a competent passing offense does for the confidence of this team, but for the confidence and ability of the offense. I like their tight ends. I think that they're a difficult cover week in and week out. Mike White has not really established that same rapport that like Joe Flacco had early on this season with Tyler Conklin. I haven't had a chance to watch every game so far this year for the Jets. And the thing that I noticed last week about Mike White is, well, first of all, the thing that I noticed about this offense and about this team in general is they've completely rallied around Mike White. There's a true belief in Mike White. So the idea that, you know, Saleh's going to have an opportunity to go back to Zach Wilson at any point this year is a conflicting conflict. I liked what Steve Young said on Monday Night Football yesterday. He's starting to lose the narrative a little bit, Robert Saleh. I think from I think too, maybe a little bit, the he's a defensive coach narrative is getting, they're kind of running with that a little bit on ESPN and NFL Network. But listen, he made the right decision, but he wanted to play both sides. And I part of me can't blame Robert Saleh. He's still a young head coach in this league, but he was on the brink of losing his locker room if he didn't make a move. So he was forced to make the move, but he made it with an intent to say, like, but it's not over for Zach, right? And yet they put him in street clothes and have basically shunned him. So, like, he can say that thing to the media that eventually the goal is to get Zach back in. Buddy, it's December.
It's over.
He ain't coming in. So that's why, like, I look at it, if you're solid, like, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. You just got to – now, does he owe that to the media? No. No, he doesn't. Listen, we work with media, maybe the least media friendly coach in the NFL, and Sean McDermott. I mean, he gives the media absolutely nothing. And we, I mean, 13 seconds happened after the divisional game last year, and nobody still really knows whose fault it was. They just were like, execution. And it's like, no, someone should be falling on that grenade, but I digress. I want to look at it from the defensive side of things, 'cause I think that's maybe the most interesting storyline in this game is, listen, the Bills have Tremaine Edmonds back. They have Matt Milano back. They've got Jordan Poyer back. They've got Gregory Rousseau back. They've got AJ Epenesa back. Yeah, that's how many people this Bills defense has been missing, by the way. Tremaine Edmonds goes out in the second half of the Minnesota game, returns last week. In those 10 quarters of football, the Bills gave up over 125 yards per game and 6 total touchdowns to teams, opposing teams, wide receiver ones. And people will say, well, that's a cornerback thing. No, it's a Tremaine Edmonds thing. And I think Bills fans have a renewed sense of, well, this guy's actually a little bit more important than maybe we were giving him credit for. His length, it's not about the plays Tremaine Edmonds makes on the field. Robert Saleh has alluded to this when talking about Tremaine Edmonds. It's the plays offenses don't make or don't attempt because of what he's capable of doing in the passing game. And you immediately saw a different Minnesota Vikings offense in that second half, led to the comeback. They get that win. Then that following week against Cleveland, Jacoby Brissett has 300 yards and Amari Cooper has 150 and 2 touchdowns. Then Amon-Ra St. Brown, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. So, like, it is no coincidence that they are finally starting to get healthy on that side of the ball and playing like the defense that was number one in DVOA through the first 6 weeks of the year. So when I look at the other side of this, though, the Jets defense, this Bills team doesn't really need to manufacture a lot of motivation, but you can bet Josh Allen, Ken Dorsey, Stephon Diggs, there's going to be a different level of focus going into this game, understanding that Josh can't turn the football over like he did in that first matchup. And I think there's a renewed sense of respect for what DJ Reed and what for Sauce Gardner have been able to do in that defensive secondary. Obviously, no one's sleeping on Quinnen Williams. He's one of the best young defensive linemen in football. Him and Ed Oliver are going to single-handedly turn that draft into the Quinnen Williams and Ed Oliver draft. I mean, Ed Oliver's playing out of his absolute mind. And maybe isn't being talked about in the same way Quinnen Williams is. Now, you know, they are different players. But I will tell you that this Bills offense is not going to be taking the New York Jets defense lightly. Not that I think they took them lightly before. I just don't think they were prepared for the different looks. I thought Robert Saleh, that defense, did such a good job pre to post snap, doing things that Josh has been really good with, which is IDing coverage pre-snap, getting that offense into the right play. They were doing a lot of late disguising, a lot of late check with me's at the line of scrimmage. So I think there's going to be a level of preparation for that. And I think it may be a different game plan, which, to your point, will probably include seeing a little bit more James Cook. I think the first time around, he only played in 13% of the snaps in that Jets matchup. Expect 30%+ of those snaps to go to James Cook. But the area of the field, Will, is not necessarily like the mid zone has been opening up for this Bills offense in terms of running the trap, the pin and pull concepts. All those things have been working with James Cook as the main running back, but it's the pass game. And this offense has started to move towards Josh Allen being like, okay, Jets. Okay. Last week when the Patriots and listen, nobody prepares better for Josh Allen than Bill Belichick. Layered blitzes, layered pass rushing. Josh Allen, when he is patient, and I want to maybe go back to earlier this season against the Dolphins. Josh Allen was incredibly patient in that football game, had 63 attempts, 40 plus completions, 400 yards, only one touchdown. And in the red zone, they go 0-for-3 that day. The Bills dominated the Dolphins. Dominated.
Oh, them. It was almost one of those fluky wins that made no sense.
Dominated them. And they make one more play. It's a different football game. I don't care what Dolphins fans say. Josh Allen dominated, did whatever they wanted offensively. And he just dumped the ball. I think in that game, Devin Singletary had 9 catches. I could absolutely see James Cook having 5, 6, 7 catches in this game because of what they're going to do defensively. The Bills are going to force the Jets to bring a safety into the box. It's going to be whether or not the Jets oblige.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Jets kind of operate defensively because they don't blitz at all. And, you know, they blitzed a little
bit.
They don't need to. They did blitz a little bit on Sunday just because they give Kirk one or two different looks on third down. It kind of got back to when their defensive line wasn't getting pressure earlier in the year. And they were awful on third down the first half because they were blitzing. And, like, you look at the numbers, EPA per play, they're number one. You know, when they don't blitz, like, I think 85% of the time, which is ridiculous.
Bills are very similar in that.
Yeah,
very similar.
Right.
They are not a good blitzing team.
Yeah, the Jets just – it's not that – it's just like
they don't get home.
And the rush ins get messed up and all these different things. So, I mean, it's going to be on Josh Allen to – you know, he really could add 4 turnovers in that game. And it's – can he avoid, like, getting impatient, as you mentioned? The patience is huge. The Jets are going to throw a lot of different things at you. You have to, like – is he going to trust his receivers? You know, Josh Allen obviously trusts his receivers, but, you know, are you going to trust do a lot of one-on-one balls that got broken up? Are you going to go back to that well? Are you going to try to, you know, kind of nickel and dime the Jets, which is what the Vikings did early on, take the 5 yard after five. Like, Justin Jefferson had 45 yards on Sunday, and he was talking like he literally had the best game of his life. I mean, relax. You know, 45 yards, he almost had a crucial drop. So that'll be interesting. And you mentioned from the you know, Bills defensive point of view, the Jets – are much healthier up front from their offensive line perspective. George Fant looked good on Sunday, first game back since week 3. You know, are they going to get that running game? Donovan Knight's been as impressive as a 2 games from an undrafted rookie as you're going to see. You know, first 2 NFL games, he is a absolute battering ram. Are they going to get Michael Carter back, who had a nice, you know, week? James Robinson has pretty much been ineffective since, you know, since that Bills game. I want to kind of just finish with, you know, I guess, quickly what you think is going to happen on Sunday. I know we're still on Tuesday. A lot of injuries could go one way or another.
Yeah.
You know, the weather looks remotely decent for a Buffalo in December. It looks like, you know, it's not going to be snow and all that different stuff. I guess, what do you think happens Sunday? Cause it feels like consensus wise, I don't think you'll find anybody that's going to pick the Jets unless they're a diehard Jets fan. Is this game going to be close to spreads? Rather large for 2 teams they're both in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would be willing to bet the Jets cover that spread. It's going to be a close football game. The Bills are going to get a big bump. It's a home game. A little revenge, I think, is on the docket. It's crazy. Like, I think back to that game and how good Zach Wilson was in that football game. Best game he's played as a pro. The ball came out on time. Top
best game,
drops.
By the way, he had 154 yards.
Just... I know. But, like, in retrospect, what he did in that game is what they've asked him to do, which is just manage the game, throw the football on time with accuracy, and get guys involved. And he did that in that game. It was that glimpse where we thought after that game in post game, I remember talking, I was like, Zach Wilson's turned a corner. That did not happen.
That was obviously. It's crazy that you really look back at that game and you go. We were talking about this on Sunday night, the Mike White 4th-and-10 throw. If Zach Wilson makes that, it's that same conversation. It's like, here it is. He turned the corner.
He turned the corner. Yeah.
And not only did Zach not follow up that game by playing well, he was probably one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And which is so crazy. It's just crazy to me that you play so composed well against the Bills team where, again, no one is picking them in that game. I agree with you on the revenge factor, but it's just wild to look at that game and think, Zach Wilson actually like was pretty good in that game and then look back at it and go, if Zach Wilson was playing tomorrow or on Sunday, you'd pick the Bills like by 20. Like that's how much the narrative has changed, you know, kind of to your point.
Yeah. And, you know, I go back to that game, Matt Milano in the first matchup against the Jets, no Matt Milano, no Jordan Poyer. Micah Hyde was already out for the season at that point. And the Bills also did not have their starting right tackle Spencer Brown. They went into that game pretty banged up. Not having Matt Milano, he is your best downhill run defending linebacker by far. what they do together, Milano and Edmonds, special stuff. Here's what I'll say. The Bills, without, I don't want to say that they played soft, but defensively they did not.
The Jets were way more physical than them on that game. It's pretty much, that's why the Jets have been good this year. They're just more physical than everybody they play.
They, Breece Hall, was he injured by that point?
He tore his ACL the week before.
The week before, yeah, that's right. I was really surprised that final drive, you guys go down, you kick the field goal. That was that was a dagger. And I think it woke this defense up. Since then, the Bills have shut out Nick Chubb. I mean, less than, like, he had like 1.4 yards per carry against the Bills in that game last week against the Patriots. Stevenson did nothing and had been having his way with defenses over the last couple of weeks. The Bills shut out Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. And then you date it back to outside of one run Dalvin Cook had in that game, which, by the way, turned the tides of that game. They shut out Dalvin Cook. So this is a defense that has given up a couple of weird plays. And I think for me, they're healthy. Jordan Poyer's back. That makes a big difference. They're healthy at the linebacker position. And Daquan Jones is a name you should familiarize yourself. If you don't know who he is, the Bills signed him in the offseason, Tennessee Titans. He's their one tech. As he goes, this Bills defense goes. He is the guy that is set and the expectation of that physicality he brings. So, I think I'm going to look at this game and I'm going to say it should be a close game. If it's a 27-22, 28-21 type of game, like, that's kind of what I'm expecting from this. but I do think the Bills are now sort of finding themselves in the driver's seat. And they understand what's at stake. They've been here before. And I think that experience that the Jets will gain over the next couple of years when they find that franchise quarterback, is it Mike White? Is it someone else? But games in December right now, a loss this year is going to prepare the Jets for next season. It's going to prepare the Jets for the seasons to come. And the same is going to be said, I think, for Miami when the Bills face off against the Dolphins next week and get a win at home. I think the Bills will win both of those football games because they have to. And I think they know that they have to. And there's going to be a sense of urgency, that attention to detail, that Sean McDermott is really, really good at setting his teams up for success in that way. So part of this, I think, is really just experience, knowing what you have to do in December, how your approach has to change this time of year. The Bills, because the Bills were the Jets in 2019, right? And losses in December put them and set them up in a position where they didn't win the division. They probably should have in 2019. They go into Houston, they lose that playoff game in Houston while they were leading at halftime. Like, a lot of what great football teams do, especially early on in their trajectory, if they lose some tough games, they learn from it. I think this is one of those games where, and last week as well for the Jets, that as a good learning experience. I just don't think the Jets are there yet. There's just, to me, no way the Bills lose twice to the Jets and Dolphins this year. I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I think this game, like you said, I think the Jets win this game. I think they win by a field goal, and I think if they lose, I think this is 27-20, 27-17, 24-20.
I think either way, it's a close game.
It's a close game. I think 11.5 is
that's a big number.
It seems pretty disrespectful to the Jets, and, you know, they seem to know that last time.
That's a big number.
That's a big number. They knew that last game. Every single guy walking off the field was like, oh, yeah, 11.5 point dogs at home. Okay. We'll see what happens if they use that as motivation. I think the loss is either going to propel them from last week and kind of have them as fired up to match Buffalo's energy. And Buffalo's gonna be fired up as well. So I think we're going to get we'll get a good game on Sunday. Again, obviously, you know, I've been on your show. I appreciate you coming on. You know, it's absolutely nice to, be able to talk about this game as two competitive teams that are in the playoffs right now, as opposed to what probably many thought was going to be, a 13-0 Bills team versus a, 5-7 Jets team, figuring out what happens at quarterback.
So I do want to go on record for your listeners. I had the Jets as the second best team in this division starting in preseason. I still find myself a little surprised at 7-5 with the quarterback issues and drama they've had. It's a testament to Robert Saleh. I think he's a fantastic football coach. He's a right football coach for this team, and their draft was, generational. They had the volume of the picks, but they hit on them. So, yeah, I am unsurprised that the Jets are in the position they're in, maybe more than anybody.
We'll be back, later this week with a little bit more about this game, talking a little bit, recapping the rest of the Vikings game and looking ahead to Buffalo. Nate, appreciate you coming on as always, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, my friend.